Thank you so much for tuning in to our church podcast. You can go to atarapentecost.com for questions about services and how to donate. We pray that you are blessed by this message today. God bless.
Verses. Praise God. We're going to ask you to stand while we read the word of the Lord. And I'm going to ask, Brother Colton, you got a good strong voice. Can you read that from way back there? All right, you read the text version. All right, read that kind of slow. I might stop you here and there, but if you would, please.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was made in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Colton. Let me read verses 12 and 13 from the Amplified, because that's where we want to go here this evening. But it says like this. It says, the world rejected their Creator Savior, but to as many as did receive and welcome Him, He gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That is to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on His name, who were born not of blood or natural conception, nor of the will of flesh, physical impulse, nor of the will of man, that of a natural father, but of God, a divine and supernatural. They are born of God, spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified. Amen. I'd like to talk to you this evening here about, going to put a title on this, Building a Better You. Amen. Building a Better You. I'm going to ask you if you would lift your hearts to the Lord here for just a moment. Amen. And let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for those that are here tonight. Thank you for your word, Lord. And God, if any time there was a time we need to be encouraged and strengthened and our faith challenged, Lord, it is today in the world that you have called us to be a light and a witness to. We're praying tonight that you would help us to teach your word and help us to receive your word, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Building a better you. Now, I guess all the young people are back in the back practicing, I guess. So, but starting off here, there's a few of young people in here. How many are thankful for your parents? All right. How many kids would like to see an improvement in your parents? Come on, any brave one? Oh, there's one. All right, there you go. Whoa, hey. All right, parents, did you see those hands go up? We should do that one again, huh? How many parents would like to see an improvement in your kids? Come on, let's be honest here. Some of y'all must have perfect kids. Mine's going up. How many parents believe they have improved relative to their parents. Any brave ones want to? That's one, you know, I don't want to put, but there you go, there's one, all right? But the big question tonight is this. Is there room for improvement? Is there room for improvement? I want to call your attention here to a story in the Gospel of John chapter 5. And just to kind of bring a point here as to our thought tonight, John 5, 1 through 8, you can follow along if you'd like, but we'll kind of paraphrase it here. There were people who needed healing. The Bible says that there were some blind, there were some halt and withered, and they would wait for a certain time of season. Why? Because the Bible says that an angel would come down and trouble the waters of Bethesda. Very, very intriguing story. And we're told that once this angel would begin to stir the water, the first one in won. They received their healing. And there was a man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. He was there the day that Jesus shows up. The Lord, looking around, the Bible tells us that he sees this man in verse number 6. And Jesus knew he had been in that condition for a long time. Been that way for a long time. Probably doesn't speak to any of us here tonight, but you never know. Sometimes, I think if we're honest with ourselves, we have been in a particular complacent state for a long time. The Lord knows how long we've been there, and He wants to do something better in our lives. But the Lord knew how long he had been there, and he asked this man kind of a question that certainly stands out. He says, "Would thou be made whole?" Or "Would you like to be better? Would you like to get well? Would you like to be better than you are right now?" And I'm quite certain that that man probably, "Are you kidding? I like it this way." No, he probably didn't, did he? 38 years being that way. But the Lord says, he says, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Would you like to get better? That's the question tonight. Would you like to get better? Or are you as good as you want to be? And here's the man's answer. He says, "I have a problem," because he says, "I have no man to help me get in the water." He says, "While I am trying to get there, someone else gets there first." And if you were this guy trying to get to the pool, knowing that if you could get there first, you would be made whole. Whatever you needed, it would be done. I would guess that there was a little bit of shoving and pushing going along, right? And now, the Bible says he had been that way for 38 years. Anybody 38 here tonight? Oh, that's a long time. Now, it doesn't specifically tell us that he had showed up there 38 years in a row, but chances are he had been there many times. Many times. And of course, we know the outcome of that story. The Bible says, Jesus said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. Incidentally, it was on the Sabbath, and the Lord got in a lot of trouble, of course. He was always healing people on the Sabbath. And someone said the room for improvement should be the biggest room in your house. But who do we compare ourselves to when we speak of a better you? Something that I find very powerful, I think you will too, as if we go to Genesis 1. Now, who do we compare ourselves? Growing up, how many compared yourself with mom and dad? Right? How many of you compared yourselves with grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle or a brother or a sister? And by comparing that, I mean, you did maybe in your family, I don't know, but we had 7 kids in my family, and the older brother was always the role model for the rest of us boys, and that wasn't always good sometimes. There were a lot of times when I got in my teenage years that I probably shouldn't have modeled my life after his because it didn't work real well. Anybody been there? Sure. But listen to this. In Genesis 1, the biblical creation account uses the word good to describe creation's value. Okay? After the first through 5 days, the Lord looked at it and he said, this is good. He says, this is good work. I've done good. But our English word good does not convey this kind of good. The Hebrew word T-O-B, tob, means good. When God said good, it means good in every way possible. Potential, beauty, joy, fruitfulness, economics, wisdom, happiness, and morality. See, when God does something good, he never does anything bad. When he does something good, it's more than we have in our vocabulary, you might say. When he made something good, he made it really, really good. But now there's more. When Adam arrived on the scene, when humanity appeared, humanity's appearance received special recognition in the biblical creation narrative. Each step along the way, God said, let there be, and it was as he spoke. Let there be light. You do know that we serve the powerful, powerful God. You do know that you want to be on your best behavior when you appear before him one day. You want to have a lifestyle that has been pleasing in his sight while you are here on the earth. You do know that. Because every one of us, right here, point to yourself. Every one of us will not only be accountable for this life, but we will appear before him. You think it's probably a good idea to try to build a better you, knowing that? Sure. But now, when humanity comes on the scene, okay, it wasn't just let there be. In Genesis 1:26, with human creation, the language changes. Instead of let there be, the text reads, let us make. After making humans and creating them with purpose, God said, what? It is. No, he didn't. He said what? No, he didn't. He said, it is very good. Oh, didn't hear you. Speak up, will you? I'm hard to hear. All right, now, it is very good. Those words in Hebrew is M-E-O-D, tob. Okay, they add a little word to it there. And it is almost impossible to exaggerate the awesomeness this phrase is meant to convey. It literally means exceedingly, abundantly, loudly, immeasurably good in a festive, generous, happy, intelligent, charming, splendid way. That is the way that God wants us. Initially, He designed us with that very good in mind. We sell this thing too. It's worth $1 million and we live like it's $100. It's $1 million value and we live we're living on $100. When God created man, He didn't just create us in a good state as compared with the rest of the creation up until then. No, when He created Adam and Eve, He created something almost entirely beyond description. You know why? Because we were created how? In His image and in His likeness. In other words, in the beginning, I see God as a creator that loves you and I so much that when He created them, He got not just a little happy, but He got overly excited. Like the Bible says, when He comes back again, He's going to shout. I believe when He first created man, that very good means that He created us, He was absolutely beside Himself. He couldn't contain it. He loved. Right. He wants us to live an abundant, cheerful, happy, come on, happy, joyful, peaceful, abundant, exciting. Y'all don't believe that? That's what it says right there. That's what it says. But, you know, we got a couple of hurdles to overcome. In other words, God unleashed humanity with an express desire to see creation to be prolific and pregnant with life. So God created man in His own image, amplified, not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And the next verse, what does the Bible say? And God blessed them, and He turned them loose. He turned them loose in that state of perfection. He turned them loose, joyful, happy, abundant life, full of hope and joy and wow. See, that's where, wow. Now let's go back to John. And he came to his own, and his own received him not. The Creator came, and his masterpiece rejected him. The world rejected him, but John writes, and John was he was the expert in this area, you might say. This is the last gospel that was ever written. Probably a couple of years maybe before he died, some 60 years after he had walked with the Lord. And he said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Listen carefully. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, we struggle and we go through life trying to fashion our lives after our natural parents. Nothing wrong with that if they're on the right track. But really, we need to look at the words that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in John 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, well, how? He says, how in the world can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily. That verily, verily, twice repeated, that carries a little bit of merit with it, in case you don't know. That's not just a casual response to a question, but that is like, listen to what I have to say. He said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Okay? Water and of Spirit. Matthew 26:28, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I don't think we have to, I think we pretty much got that covered here tonight. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't buy into that. And because why? Well, because Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes, by reason of the life which it represents. Atonement means to cancel, to cover, to put off, or pardon. Remission means freedom, deliverance, forgiveness, or liberty. Nicodemus, you must be born again. If we want to be born into the family of God, well, how many of you carry your dad's name today? Well, some of you, you know, wives, they carry husband. If we want to be born into the family of God, we all must take on our Heavenly Father's name. And I read to you from John 1, when we take on our Father, Heavenly Father's name in water baptism, and our sins are not just forgiven, but they are completely washed away. All right? We have the legal right to become the sons and the daughters of God. You want to build a better you? You want to build a better you? You must be born again. Because the image was tarnished in the beginning. The good news is God is restoring that image. To you and I that have been born again, we are being transformed into His image day after day after day, prayer after prayer after prayer. Are you with me? Building a better you. And the great part of it is that the birthday of the church became my birthday also. We all share the same birthday, don't we? Sure. How many of you remember the day your kids were born? The mothers do. Guaranteed. I can tell you what I had for lunch that day. You know why? Because I got in trouble. And, of course, Kathleen, you know, guess where we were on that Sunday morning? We was in church. Guess what she was doing? Playing the organ. Somebody says, Kathleen, she was, you know, going into labor. Says, well, let's take a walk. Walked around the church, you know, a couple of times, and then we headed to the hospital. And I don't know, 12 hours, 14 hours later. For whatever reason, I remember my lunch. It was a Wendy's. You know, back then, Wendy's was just open for the most part. It was a Wendy's, probably a double and fries and a Frosty. I could not understand why she got upset at me. To this day, I never figured that out. What? Right? How many dads were coaches? Come on. How many dads went through Le Mans? At least one of it, two of us. I was a good coach. I said, come on. Let's go. Here, let me. You want a fry? You must be born again. When I had the opportunity, and ironically, not ironically, but I went 58 years ago today, came home from school. December 13th, it was on a Monday. Mom met me at the front door and said, hey, your dad died. Not like that, of course, but oh my goodness, when I finally came to an understanding that, I don't think you can exaggerate this book too much. When it says that you must be born again, see, I believe that when I was born again of the water and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, see, I honestly believe that at that moment of time that I became, God gave me the power and the right to become a son of His. No way. Yeah. But see, the thing is that sometimes we forget how powerful that is. I mean, that literally, that absolutely catapults you into a spiritual life, because in the beginning, guess what? You were created as a spiritual being. Did you know that? And guess what? You are still a spiritual being. The only thing that hinders us is that we live inside of this house of flesh. Because it's your spirit that is communicating with everybody. The voice that you hear is just coming out of, you know, as you get older. Brother McGill, I don't know, but man, my voice started to change a couple of years ago. Does that happen to you guys when you reach 50? Huh? But Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. How many of you were born again? How many of you were born again? How many of you, when you were born again, there was an excitement and a joy and a peace that when you came out of that water, listen, don't tell me for 1 second that when you came up out of that water, that you came up out of there.
We got a towel.
Or when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, don't tell me that there wasn't something that occurred inside of you that kind of exuberated from you, and all of a sudden that you were walking around and telling people about what God had just done in your life, how that He had just delivered you from drugs, from alcohol, from depression. Hello. And He was beginning to do a building process in your life, starting out as a baby. Oh, what a great thing it is when you have little ones and they have been had the privilege to be raised in church. But let me ask you this, as a parent, am I trying to get better for my children's sake? Here's the thing. Brother Ryan, I gave you a photo, and I got to wind this thing down here. But see, here's what I have found in life, and that is that Kellen's just a really good kid. Kellen, hello. How you doing? Doing good? Yeah. All smiles. Here's what I found in life. When we're single, all right, okay, well, you know, but when we get married, was there something in you that, all of a sudden you were faced with the idea, you know, I got to improve a little bit. Hello? Are you kidding me? Of course you did. When you got married, you needed to, all of a sudden, you were trying to build a better you. Why? Well, because you were romancing and winning over your spouse, and you had to put on a better you. Didn't you? Oh, I bet you were. Now, here's the other thing. I found that when I became a parent, I had to build better. I couldn't remain. Why? Because there was more responsibility. I had to. Why? Well, because my kids, whether I liked it or not, they were going to model their lives after Kathleen and me. Hello. That should be a knock, knock, wake up call. Moms, are you building better? Do you have a desire to become better? Dads? Then I found out when I became a grandparent, didn't matter. It didn't matter at all. But here's the other thing I found. How many of you believe, whatever your age is, whatever your age, are you trying to become a better son and daughter to your Heavenly Father? I don't believe we ever get We should have a right to stop. I want to get better. I want to be the best 60 plus son. What? Who said that? But here's what I, how many of you found out when you got married, when you had kids, kind of elevated, you were compelled to get better, weren't you? Sure. But now, let me go a step further. How many of you know what those cars are? Probably Brother Jack does, I know. What are they? Not just a gremlin. Yeah. Yes. Gremlin and a pacer. I was driving home one afternoon, and I looked over off of Kennewick Avenue, and I seen these two cars in the driveway. I couldn't believe it. I had to turn around, go and knock on the door, and man, we had a good chat for 30 minutes. But see, that's where my career started with gremlins and pacers. We had American Motors, Chrysler, Plymouth, and Jeep. Okay? Now, watch. Just watch this for a moment. Okay? I was there for 5 years, and Honda called me. Ooh. Now, Brother Mark is right. That's a piece of junk there. That gremlin. Now, how would you ever introduce a new model of car and call it a gremlin?
I don't get it.
It lived down to its reputation, let me tell you. It did. But I got a call from Honda. Whoa. Back in 1979, they were just taking orders. You know what I had to do? I had to get better. I had to get better because it wasn't too long after I was there, Brother Jack, you know the gentleman, David Nash, that I became a service manager. Had to get better. 11 years later, Mercedes-Benz calls me. You understand what? I felt like I had to take it up about 5 notches. You understand what I'm saying? That's what happened in my life. God, the church calls you, asks you to do something. For me, I never was good enough to be youth leader. But I taught junior boys. And then they asked me to be an adult teacher. Going from junior boys to an adult teacher, you know what you have to do? You got to build better. You trust me. Trust me, it works that way. Then I felt God called me after 15 years. I was asked to be an assistant pastor. That's not just, are you with me? I had to get better. Then, well, God called me to pastor Brother Cliff, wherever he's at. But then I had to get better. You understand? We never stop. We shouldn't ever stop wanting to get better. For me, I always felt like God had to push me and kick me. But once that started, once that process, once I was living the experience of what God was doing in my life, I couldn't stop from wanting to get better for Him. on the job, I wanted to be the best for him. Is that making sense to you? So, doesn't matter how old we are or whether we're a kid or a teenager, and we could go on here tonight, but if we are faithful to the work of God, and if getting better or growing spiritually becomes our ultimate purpose in life, we will always feel valuable. We will always find joy and peace and hope in life. Because the kingdom of God is not what? But it is. But listen, when we are born again, I believe that there is a part of God that He invests in us. I believe that we begin to be transformed back into His image. I believe that there is a celebration in heaven. I believe that the Lord, that the mighty creator of the universe, I believe that He literally, He becomes very, very joyful over the new birth of one of His children. I believe that. There's an old baseball player named Satchel Paige, as you stand with us. He once asked this: how old would you be if you didn't know how old you was? Some of y'all think I'm 69, but I honestly don't know if I'm how old I am. There's another gentleman named Oliver Wendell Holmes. He put it this way: to be 70 years young is sometimes far more cheerful and hopeful than to be 40 years old. Is it when we want? When we there's only one that I want. Impress is the wrong word to use, right? There's only one that I have a desire to impress. I want to know how much of God in my life that I can pull out, and how much I can enjoy life no matter what age I am. I want to wring it till there's nothing left of it. Build a better you. Don't settle for the gremlin, folks, spiritually. Go for the Mercedes, all right? Because you close those back windows on both the Pacer and the Gremlin, chances are about 2 out of 10 times they close the hatch and the window breaks. That's just for beginners. Don't settle for a Gremlin. Go for the Benz, man. And don't settle for a mediocre, just an average walk with God. Kick the door in. One, I want a Mercedes in my spiritual. I don't want no. Don't settle for it. Amen. Press on. Get all you can. Some of y'all are, you guys have done marvelous things. Amen. All right. Thank you for being here tonight. We're going to lift our hearts to the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask, is there Brother Ryan back there? Brother Ryan, would you pray and dismiss us, please?